Guillermo Mash here on behalf of the Without a Roof Radio program. Got a packed show today. So packed, I'm gonna take a few minutes before the top of the hour to introduce my main guest today, Brian Myers, someone that I met literally when I was homeless, doing journalism around homeless and advocacy around homelessness here in Chico, California in November of 2012. Which just happened to have been, you know, within months of Brian Myers coming to Chico, California with his family. He is transitioning to be the senior pastor at Grace Community Church. And he spoke at the Chico City Council meeting around the expansion slash consolidation of services of the Jesus Center down by the BMX track in south of Chico. And this was just a follow-up we did after we turned the mic off that Brian kind of said to me. He said, hey, I really want to get this out there too. So we're doing that. And, you know, stay tuned. And thank everyone for being such passionate and powerful supporters of Peak Power Radio. So I'm here with Brian. We wanted to actually close on a question around transitional housing and how important that is. And the reality of, you know, transitional housing or the expansion of the Jesus Centers, like I'd mentioned to Laura Kutsuna, and she agreed, unless we have a dramatic increase, Brian, in the building of housing and the availability of affordable and supportive housing, transitional housing just becomes a revolving door. What do you want to say around transitional housing?
Yeah, what kind of exposed me to that was, you know, I met a man who was homeless and really was heavy on my heart to get to know him and to help him out, but literally brought him into our home and we were trying to then establish him in a transitional housing environment, you know. And so we were looking all around town, every place we could find that had the possibility of a bed just to stay. And I'm being honest, I was shocked. I was shocked.
It is shocking.
There are so few locations for people to transition into, and those places where they can transition into honestly aren't the best environments for growth and redevelopment. And so a lot of times what that it does is it actually helps contribute to the problem. And so I just know this, and this was addressed at City Council, especially with Laura, is that we have got to address the transitional housing problem. It's a problem in our city. What's happening as well is that people who were making it and could afford a place to live, they now are going homeless. And so literally the costs are going up. The inventory of spaces that are available is shrinking. And so say we do everything perfect in relief and even rehabilitation. If we don't get towards that redevelopment and getting people placed into housing, yeah. Honestly, like we were talking housing earlier, first. It's a revolving door.
It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof Radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware of the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of okay. Good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
My name is Tara Ames, and I'm the facilitator for the Youth Advisory Council. Our group provides a platform where marginalized youth in our community have a collective voice, participate in empowering activities, and develop leadership skills. We want to remind everyone that November is Runaway and Homeless Youth Awareness Month, and that we still have activities for the remainder of the month. Wednesday, November 15th, we will be holding a candlelight vigil at the steps in front of the City Council building at 6 p.m. And November 29th, we will be having the 6th Street Record CD release party at Blackbird, 1431 Park Avenue, which also starts at 6 p.m. We hope that everyone can come out and support us and support the youth in our community. Nationally, there are as many as 2 million homeless youth in the U.S., and California typically has the largest numbers of homeless youth. Often, people assume that youth leave their home voluntarily and that their homelessness is a consequence of their own behavior. However, 50% of youth report that they were either told to leave by their parents or that their parents knew that they were leaving and didn't try to stop them. You can help make a difference in our community by supporting local service providers by donating, volunteering, and spreading the word to help end the cycle of youth homelessness. These service providers include HEART, 6th Street Center, School Ties, and the Stonewall Alliance Center. You can find more information about the Runaway and Homeless Youth Month events by visiting www.6thstreetcenter.org.
All right, Guillermo Mash here for the Without a Roof Radio program, the November 15th edition. Shout out Tara Ames for all the work that she does facilitating the Youth Advisory Council. And it's my understanding that Candlelight Vigil is rain or shine, and it's looking like it won't be raining. So let's all keep our fingers crossed. And our main segment, I mentioned just before the top of the hour, is with Brian Myers, Senior Pastor at Grace Community Church, someone I've known almost the entire time I've been in Chico. And actually, I attended the Super Bowl in 2014. It was the last Super Bowl I ever watched at his house. He invited me into his home with his family, and I don't even remember who played or who won. He tells you I'm not a football fan. But what's coming up is I was fortunate enough to have two wonderful pieces around one interview session with Amanda, his 11-year-old daughter at the time, as I was advocating and doing journalism around the Sit and Lie laws that were front and center in 2013. And this first segment you're going to hear right here, right now, is the very first petition that Amanda, who's now 16, and you'll hear from her dad, her proud dad, Brian Myers, here in just a bit, who is just got so much heart and soul and passion around social justice issues and civil rights, human rights for all, you know, standing up for her fellow human beings. So listen up to that. And then right after that, we're going to have our main interview with Brian Myers. And a really cool way to end it is after we were done kind of doing the interview, Amanda actually talked to me about physically interviewing her around Sit and Lie. And it became one of my favorite vignettes, and it's actually in our Poor People's Film Festival. Amanda, an 11-year-old, has all figured out about Sit and Lie laws. Why can't you? So I feel really blessed. I feel really blessed with this program today, and I know you're going to enjoy it. And thank you for all your support during the pledge drive. And want to know more about Without a Roof? Google us. We come right to the top. And our homepage is WOAROOF.TUMBLR.COM.
Amanda, what this petition is saying is that when we're signing this, we're basically telling the government, the city government, which is the city council, basically saying we think it's okay that people can sit or lay on a sidewalk, that that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a part of them just being a person, no different than if I wanted to sit on a sidewalk that someone else can. And it doesn't matter if they're homeless. Because with the whole sit and lie law, it basically is kind of kicking homeless out of the community and actually fining them and penalizing them for being homeless, which is kind of sad.
Because they can't help it.
Yeah,
they probably choose being having money than being homeless.
Right. Yeah. For some of them, they don't have a choice in them being homeless.
Yeah.
And for some, they like being free and not having to pay for a home and stuff like that. But anyways, it's our choice. So anyways, you get to sign this little petition here if you want to basically tell the city government what you think about the sit and lie laws.
Is this your first petition?
Yes.
That is so cool. I feel blessed. Wow.
I'm in America, baby.
What do you think of one word that comes to mind when you think about it? What does it make you feel when you think about?
Like it's wrong. Because
wrong? Okay, so you put wrong.
Because that the homeless people are people too, and they deserve every right that people have of sitting wherever they want to sit or laying wherever they want to lay. And signature? Okay.
Yeah, sign your name there.
Wow.
Awesome. That's democracy, Amanda.
Yeah.
Awesome. Give me five.
All right, Guillermo Mash here for the November 15th Without a Roof Radio program, and I'm real pleased to have Brian Myers, senior pastor at Grace Community Church, joins us today in our program. Welcome, Brian Myers.
Hey, Bill.
It's great to have you on. I mean, I haven't seen you since about 2013, thereabouts.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. So maybe just a little bit more about yourself, and then we can talk a little bit about that vignette that we just played before you came on the air.
Yeah, sounds good. Our family came to Chico in 2012, and we love the city, which is why I do what I do as a pastor. I love people because God loves people. And I connected with you early on. And obviously in Chico, you know, we have a lot of homeless here in our city. And we're all together here in Chico, and they're a part of our city. And so that was a thing that we realized coming to Chico in ways that we'd figure out how to best minister to the people that God places in our lives. And so there's been a lot of life that's happened since we moved here. You know, we've been in the middle of an adoption, bringing a child from Haiti to the United States.
That's wonderful, yeah.
It's been a five-year process.
You were just starting that when
she's 2.5 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this process started before she's even born, wow. Which is amazing. And then
blessings.
We're excited that we believe she'll be here by Christmas. And also, last June, I was elected by the church to be our senior pastor's successor. So now I'm the senior pastor of Grace Community Church. And so we love that we get to stay here and minister in the city of Chico.
Nice. We're happy as well, Brian. Talk a little bit about those vignettes that we did
yeah,
with your wonderful daughter, Amanda, who's 15 now.
That was 2013. So yeah. She was like she's actually 16 now.
Wow.
And so my daughter has always been about justice and what is right, you know? And so I remember us being there in the park and she was asking questions about, you know, what was going on in the city with the sit and lie laws. And that just, for her, it just struck a chord for her that it just wasn't right. And for her, it was important to be involved civilly. And so she was wanting to be a part of signing that petition. And so for her, it was a deep justice issue that people couldn't sit and lie where they felt they wanted to, because mm-hmm. she knows as a kid, she can.
Yeah,
so for
can.
Her, it was offensive that there's some people, because they don't have a home, that they can't. And she thought that wasn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that came across real clear in that vignette. And she was right on the money, because if you fast forward to the current edition, November, December, of the Homeward Street Journal, the Chico Vibe page, I have an intro on someone, Mark, a young man, bothers nobody, was literally just sleeping in a park with his stuff. No littering, no nothing. He was approached by the police. But kind of fits to, you know, some of the things that's on Amanda's heart, as I kind of ended it saying, sleeping in a park in broad daylight isn't a crime, neither is being seen in public space, which is what happened to this right. gentleman. He was told to move along, literally, because he was in public space looking like he was poor. Citizens of Chico need to understand the dynamics at play here. Laws that were passed under the guise of public safety are being indiscriminately applied to people for the simple acts that we all do as human beings, such as sleeping, resting, and standing in public spaces. It's time to reconcile the realities of the devastating impacts of extreme poverty and the crushing lack of housing and supportive services in the county, and to make the faces and voices of poverty-stricken individuals seen, heard, and acted upon. What would you add to that, Brian?
I know a lot of things we're dealing with are symptomatic of deeper problems and things that are broken. And some of those are interpersonal and are people issues. And some of those, many of those are just system mm-hmm. issues that it's city, county, state. And so all those things culminate to situations like this. And so my take is that we in the end have to look for a better solution together. In my mind, we can't just be satisfied with this is just the way it is. That I believe God is calling us to have compassion and to meet people where they are and to bring healing and restoration.
Yeah, right where they are, you know, whether it be the plaza, whether it be Burger King, whether it be, you know, wherever you see someone in need. And I know sometimes it can be difficult. And Amanda had such intelligence and will for a young lady of 11, Brian, but she actually nailed the context of a quote, Brian, that I have not been able to break. And that quote is, the next time someone tells you someone's homeless by choice, simply ask them why only poor people make that choice. They'd rather have money than be poor.
Yeah.
I mean, but what would you say to that?
Yeah, you know, I think what happens is there's a lot of assumptions that go into when people see someone who's homeless.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many factors going on there. And that's something I realized myself. We have a dear friend who's homeless that we literally took into our home. And my thought or my logic is, well, if you're homeless, all you need is a home. That is so not true. The home is not having a home a lot of times is a symptom of greater issues to work through. And honestly, mm-hmm. some people opt not, that that's not what they desire. Some, they would love to have a home, but they either have no means, whether that's financial, it could be mental health, it could be vices, addictions, where I have support and resources in mm-hmm. my life that have been given to me by God's grace. Some people don't have those same support structures. I've had stable parents in my life that I've learned to lean on. That's huge. And many people don't have that. So they've had no mentors or people to invest in them to learn those things in life that I, by God's grace, had the privilege to learn from my parents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the major deal in all of this, if we don't learn how to life on life engage people relationally, honestly, mm-hmm. the way Jesus did, there's going to be no healing or solution. It's about personal engagement and investment.
I always try to make it the teaching point, though, Brian, for the conversation we're having, that there's really only one dynamic that classifies someone as homeless, and that's being without a home.
Yeah.
So it's the hugest catch 22. So to solve homelessness, they need a home. But as you had described, often that comes with other things that they're really, really desperately
sure.
need.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm going to take a pause right now, and we're going to play your words from City Council, and we're going to come back after that with Brian Myers, senior pastor at Grace Community Church here on People Power Radio.
Our next speaker is Brian Myers.
Well, first, Mayor, council members and staff, that warms my heart. I'm really excited to see what's happening here in the city of Chico. I am the senior pastor of Grace Community Church. We're confronted with the incredible opportunity to address homelessness here in Chico. Every business, every house of worship, every citizen is experiencing the challenges that we have with relief in our community. Collectively, we're in agreement that our aim is to support citizens to be self-sustaining, productive, and participatory in our city. What we have done thus far has not been as effective as we like, but we're actually engaging things in a very real way as a city. It's very exciting. A recent study of homelessness in our area revealed that the homeless situation in our city is increasing, but what they've also acknowledged about our city is that we have a spirit of collaboration and partnership here in Chico, and I love the spirit of our city. As a leader, I believe that we need to play to our strengths, that we need to work together as a city between nonprofits, between businesses, and public works. And through this, I'm excited about the potential with the Jesus Center relocating to the south side of town. Over the years, the Jesus Center has grown from a feeding program that provides simple relief in the form of meals to include programs that actually redevelop and actually meet the needs of people to become self-sufficient. As our program has evolved, the building itself becomes a constraint. So the idea of actually having a location that actually can meet the real needs and not just the felt needs of people not only benefits the homeless population, but honestly, it benefits the whole city. And I'm so excited that we're coming together for such a time as this.
Thank you, Mr. Myers.
All right, back in the studio with Brian Myers. You know, Brian and I were talking about how, you know, speaking in front of city council, you always have to pare it down. So what were some other things you wanted to say that you didn't have the adequate time?
Yeah, that house was full that night.
It was packed.
It was packed. And so they trimmed us down to a minute and a half. And so I had to, like, cut my script. But really, the main thing I really want to talk about that I didn't have the opportunity to because we had to pare it down was, honestly, the change there has been in this city to work together. I believe God has placed the right people together at the right time to do something powerful, something that I think could really be a model for other cities and communities, not just in California, but I believe in our country, to see the city and businesses and nonprofits, churches, places that aren't even churches that just love people because we're all made in God's image, that we're all working together for the same aim. And I think what we've realized is that we've all come to the same conclusion. We have a challenge, and any challenge can also be an opportunity that if we engage this together, we're going to see some gains and some inroads, I think, like we've seen never before in our city. And long-term, I think this is where we also can find common ground. And that's a huge issue, I think, when we work with issues in the city. How do we have common ground, especially when you have churches and city government and, you know, people in town maybe who are atheists? How can we come together on common ground and actually address something that actually can move the ball in terms of addressing homelessness? And I think we have arrived at that, or I'm hopeful that we've arrived at that as a city and working together.
Yeah, I actually have to expand because I on that. I actually was meeting with someone at the Peace and Justice Center. I think it was the board president at the time. We were kind of talking about the issue of homelessness in Chico at the end of 2012. And I put my fingers together like this, my index and thumb. And I said, the issue is we have just this little thimble size, you know, hole here of people working on it, and we need to expand it. We need a lot more people working on this issue. And I think out of all the things that have given me the best grace and pause for work that I do and others, there's a lot more people involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what happens is people get overwhelmed because they feel like they can't solve it. They can't fix it because that's how we are as people. We want the gratification of fixing something. So when we see a problem that is bigger than us, sometimes I think what we do is we don't engage it. And so we kind of guard our heart because we want to feel success in life. But the reality is there's always going to be homeless, but we can't use that as an excuse to do nothing. We can engage it together and make inroads in ways that honestly we haven't, I think, since I've been here, which has been a short period of time of five years. But speaking to those who've been here longer, they're very excited about where we're at now in terms of moving forward.
It's just amazing, transformative process when you feel comfortable enough. Because I know a lot, it can be difficult. A lot of people feel, for whatever, wherever place they're at, it's hard to approach someone that's homeless. But if you can approach them with love and care, and they can actually look in your face knowing that you care about them and you're listening to them, it's transformative. Yeah. You might not have immediately put them in a home, but you've immediately made their day better. And you make their day better, it makes the day around them better, the people that are around them better. So there's so much we can do just being hospitable to one another.
Yeah. Something I really enjoyed about what you do, Bill, is you go around and you get people's story. Mm-hmm. When you get to know their story, it's like you give them dignity. You restore their humanity. And I think many people, it's not just those who are homeless, it's anyone who's afflicted or marginalized. They honestly are dehumanized. And so the cool thing that Jesus did in his ministry as a pastor, I see this, it's not the simple healings and the works and the signs and the wonders. It's just the thing that Jesus talked and interacted with people that honestly were discarded in their culture. Mm-hmm. He restored people, not only their health, he actually restored to them their humanity. And that also is a powerful part of bringing people healing. So getting to know people's story is like, you know, at Grace, what we encourage our people to do is, hey, get to know people's story. You share a lot of things in common, but what you're going to find out is you may have had some things in your life which gave you opportunity where the people you're talking to didn't. And so that's the difference between you and them. And so there's really not much that separates you other than some events in your life that went south.
Jesus, when he said to help the poor, he didn't give you any qualifiers.
No.
You know, unless it's a prostitute or unless they're dirty or unless they're doing drugs or if or unless they're a different color. He was very inclusive. He was very wanting of people to be hospitable, to share bread with the stranger, to love one another. And I just feel as if that's a skill I have that I can bring. I can approach nearly anyone and they know immediately that I care.
Yeah.
And anyone that's listening that thinks they have those skills, it makes a tremendous impact. It's just a tremendous ability to help someone where they're at.
Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, as you talk about trying to help someone who's hurting, someone who's homeless, who doesn't want to be, just the idea of just sitting down with them and spending time with them as another human being, that gives them something that money can't buy. And so that's why, you know, I really encourage people, hey, rather than just giving someone money, you know, to someone, you know, flying signs, actually, you know what, take them to lunch and sit down and get to know them.
Yep.
And honestly, it not only impacts them, it changes your heart. And that's what we're about. We're about people's hearts, you know, transformed by God to actually love people the way God loves them. And Jesus, you know, talked about it in Isaiah 53, you know, that he was a man, you know, who was familiar with suffering, that he walked around with sorrows. And I believe the reason why he did is because he was intimately familiar with people's stories and he knew them on a deep level. And what we need to do, if we want to have that compassionate heart, we have to get to know people's stories.
Yeah. I feel like that on many days.
Yeah.
You know? The suffering I've seen and others. So to all my street angels out there, we love you all. Shift a little bit. You know, I wanted to talk about some of the dynamics here, quote unquote, regarding self shelter and self-sufficiency. Even since I've been here, Brian, you know, homelessness has increased and there's a big reason why. A lot of the lower income housing is gone.
Yeah.
So that's only 5 years. I've seen a massive decrease in ability for people to get housing. We talked about the Jesus Center expansion and they started in 1981. And that's just before I got out of the Navy.
Yeah.
And I was unemployed. When I got out of the Navy, Brian, that was a big recession, quote unquote, a big recession. Yeah. And there was a lack of jobs. There was a lack of this. And they had, and that was their initial impetus of homelessness. They had a big crush of homelessness and they put They called in FEMA and they got everyone back to work, and got them back on their feet. But since then, these government programs have been just physically decimated, and we've really gone over the last 30 years to a capitalist model that says we're going to build the housing that the developers feel that we need and blah, blah, blah. But we've just gutted our stock of affordable housing, less jobs available. So how that fits into what you had described in the 80s, I see, because I lived that, I see the Jesus Center providing a meal. Why, that's really all they needed to provide. And it makes my heart really, really heavy to know that the Jesus Center has to do so much more now because the need is so much greater than 1981.
Yep. Yeah, and that is so key.
Wow.
That with the services that are being provided here in this city by each nonprofit, each agency, even the city, county, state itself, cannot in itself address the problem. It's too big. It has to be everyone working together, seeing value in each other, because we're humans. We're, what we find in scripture, we're made in God's image, that we love each other well. And so we have to do this together. And you're right. It's gotten way more expansive to where,
it's devastating.
Where we have to work together. And so that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a willingness of government, businesses, and nonprofits working together around a collective challenge, but also can be a collective opportunity that draws us closer together as a city. I love that.
Yeah. Self-sufficiency, because everyone would love the target of self-sufficiency, so they're housed, they feel happy, and they're part of the society. But self-sufficiency in a world severely, severely lacking safe and affordable housing, living wage, and supportive services is just really the reality. And I feel, just for the mission that I do, Brian, of being with people and helping them and giving them a voice, as a community, we really got to gather around the fact that people are in a horrible, horrible place, and they're likely to be there tomorrow and the day after, and we need to love them where they're at.
Yeah. Well, I think, Bill, the most overwhelming thing for anyone is hopelessness.
Yeah.
When you hit that point where you feel there's no hope, that's where you lose the will to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reality is there is hope, as long as we have people who are willing to come alongside and engage. And so that's something that we're really mindful of, that, you can't just throw money at a problem. That doesn't work. You can't even just throw shelter at a problem. You literally have to invest yourself relationally. You have to come alongside people. You have to mentor people. And so on our end as a church, that's what we're really trying to challenge our people in. Just don't throw money at it and then walk away. You need to engage it personally and literally build into the lives of people and mentor them and experience some things that you did in your life that you can then impart to them.
Yeah, the hope thing is big. It's a huge, huge thing, because, I know the bell curve and I know statistics, and, the reality is there's not a home for everybody.
No.
There's not a safe place for everybody. No. But the reality is the people that do the best and are happy and have the hope and an ability to move forward are the people that have hope.
Yeah.
So it's a huge catch-22. I mean, you always got to have hope, because there is always hope.
Right,
there is always hope.
And
absolutely. I believe that 100%.
If you shared your story, Bill, I'm sure there are people, when you felt hopeless in your life, there were people around you who instilled hope and saw vision for you, saw redemptive potential. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's what we're called to bring people, to see things in them that they don't see in themselves.
Big time.
And to draw that out and show that to them and inspire them to really experience what they were meant to be, which is, in my mind, is fully productive, contributing members of our society for the sake of them having their dignity and feeling that they have value and purpose and meaning, because they do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Any closing comments?
I honestly did not script this interview or think about what I was going to talk about today, which honestly, I like that, because I just, but really on my end, I'm just praying that over the next few months and years, because this will go on for many years, we'll be dealing with this until we're all in glory and we all have a home. That's the reality. We all do have a home. We're just not there yet. I'm just praying that our hearts would expand. I'm praying that we would experience compassion in ways that we've not before. I'm praying that through what is established through this joint effort in our city, that we would really believe that great things can be done when we work together.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just want people to be amazed in how on my end how God works. He works through everyone collaboratively to bring about a common good. And we celebrate that. It's a good thing.
Folks just joining, we are just wrapping up an interview with Brian Myers, senior pastor at Grace Community Church here in Chico. Anything we need to know about your church, like a website or anything like that before we go?
Yeah, you can find them.
Right?
Yeah. It's all good.
Where are you located?
We're located on 2346 Floral Avenue. We have services on Sunday at 9 and 10:45. We really encourage people not to do church, but to be the church.
Church on the
church is about people.
It is.
And wherever two or more are gathered, there God is. And so we really encourage our people to go and be the church during all the other days of the week. So
I like that.
Yep.
So we're done. Thanks for coming on, Brian.
Thanks, Bill.
Tell us a little bit more about what you think about, telling people it's not okay to sit down and, how that relates to you and what your feelings are.
It's going to really hurt a lot of homeless people because there's a lot of homeless people in Chico. So it's almost like we're going back to the 1960s where black people, it's 1960s, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Black people, 1960s, where black people weren't allowed to sit on certain chairs or allowed to drink out of certain fountains. It's not like that, but they're people too, and they have feelings. And we should let them be able to sit wherever they want to sit, because it's at least bad enough that they don't have a house. And it will also be taxing, giving them fines for sitting where they want to sit as an American, and that's not right. And then they won't have any money, so they'll owe the police money, and they'll just go to jail because they don't have any money.
Wow, you got it all figured out. I swear you do. That's exactly what happened.
I was thinking an 11-year-old can figure this out, America. Why can't you?
All right, heading on out. Thank you for listening to the Without a Roof radio program. You can find us on Facebook, it's Without a Roof. You can find us on YouTube channel. You can find us on Twitter. Just Google Without a Roof and you'll find us. We come right to the top. And until next week, always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.